Welcome to another episode of the Lore of the Films podcast. I am your host, Ryan Fernand, and I would just like to start off by saying that I apologize for not having this episode recorded sooner. I just ran into a bunch of problems. I live in Connecticut, so we were hit pretty bad by Hurricane Irene. I didn't get power back until last Thursday. And then right from there, I started another semester of college. So I've been pretty busy of late, and that's why I haven't done an episode in a while. Anyways, what I will be doing today in this episode is I will be reviewing The Debt. I'll also be doing a summer review of television and films. So let's get started with The Debt. And it's about a group of Mossad agents from Israel that try to find and assassinate a Nazi doctor. And then it also goes through the ramifications that this trial of events has on them years down the line, as everything isn't what it seems. But anyways, I thought it was a solid thriller. It wasn't great or anything, but it wasn't bad either. It had some great acting, especially from the woman. Jessica Chastain is having an amazing year. She's really turned out to be such a chameleon actress. I mean, she's pretty much unrecognizable from movie to movie. Like in Tree of Life, she played the great mother figure, very graceful. And The Help, she played the Marilyn Monroe type character. And then here she plays a kick-ass agent. She definitely could be an action hero. She definitely could be. Helen Mirren was also amazing, but she doesn't get as much screen time as Jessica Chastain. The two of them play the same character. And one of the problems with the films is that some of the younger versions of the characters have no resemblance to the older characters, or older versions of the characters, actors-wise. Like Sam Worthington looks nothing like Sirian Hans, and the actor who played the younger version of Tom Wilkinson looks nothing like Tom Wilkinson. Another disappointment is Sam Worthington's performance, as he's... personally, I just can't stand him as an actor. I mean, he does okay with the action films like Avatar and Terminator Salvation and even Clash of the Titans, but he's by no means a dramatic actor. He was very poor in Last Night, and he definitely brought nothing good to the table with this film. So that was definitely a disappointment. But John Madden, I was surprised to see, brought some actual style. I mean, he's definitely known for kind of being like a safe, like Oscar bait type of director. He doesn't do anything stylistic, but he actually brought some interesting choices, some very stylistic choices to this film, especially one scene involving how a twist is revealed. It was done very well. Also, Matthew Vaughn of the Kick-Ass director and X-Men First Class director, he co-wrote the script here with Jane Goldman, I think, who also co-wrote X-Men First Class and Kick-Ass. And the script is first of all based off an Israeli film. This is a remake of an Israeli film, and the script is probably the best it could be, but there is a big problem with the story structure that makes certain storylines play on too long to make the point that is necessary to create the film. There's a twist involved, and I think the main point of the script just was to show how cool this twist was, but it takes so much explanation and so much plot to get to the twist that it's almost not worth it by the end of it. But it seems like I'm complaining about this film a lot, but no, I actually enjoyed it. Really enjoyed most of the acting, and some of the twists and turns were quite interesting. It was a solid thriller, not great, but solid. So now on to summer television. Normally I only watch, one or two shows during the summer, but I watched quite a few this summer, and that's because this has definitely been the best summer I have ever witnessed for television. The scripted stuff was a better selection than usual. You got Breaking Bad and Damages. They don't normally air during the summer, but you got both of them this summer. And there was just a lot of ambitious projects on the air, especially some of the documentary and nonfiction series and specials were very, very ambitious, and I liked what I saw for the most part. So for a more comprehensive review, I'm just going to do a rundown of my five favorite television programs of the summer. So number five was Rising, Rebuilding Ground Zero, which was a documentary of the construction of the new Freedom Tower and the entire park that's surrounding it. And this aired on Discovery Channel in two parts, 3 hours long each. So it was 6 hours in total. The first part aired two Thursdays ago, and the second part aired just last Thursday. And it was definitely an amazing documentary. It was beautifully shot. There were some gorgeous shots of some of the construction workers working on the Freedom Tower with the Statue of Liberty in the background. And that just perfectly conveyed what it was like to be working on such an important project for the people of New York. It was also very informative. It explained why there's a lot of delays. It seems it's a joke that how long this tower is taking to get to finish building. But I never realized that what they were doing with this Freedom Tower is they're pretty much actually building an entire city around it. You know, they're going to have a museum. They're actually going to have like five different towers. They're going to have a metro station that's going to rival Grand Central. I mean, I had no idea about this, and the documentary just put it in a way that was so easy to understand. And another thing I would like to point out is Ed Harris did the voiceover work, and it's perfectly done. I hope he gets an Emmy nod for it because he definitely deserves it. And I think that's actually quite possible because he has Game Change, where he's going to play John McCain, the TV movie that's going to be airing on HBO. That's definitely going to get some Emmy nominations. So I think the buzz from that will carry him into a voiceover nomination for this project. I'm calling it right now, almost a year in advance. And another great thing about this show was Discovery, when it first aired, I don't know if they're going to show it again. They might, especially on September 11th. I haven't checked the schedule, though. But Discovery ran it straight through with no commercial breaks. I mean, they had one commercial break at the 30-minute mark and another at the hour mark. But they were commercials that dealt with 9/11. It was they weren't advertising a product or anything. It was actually informative commercials. So Discovery pretty much ran it straight through, and I really liked that. My only complaint with the documentary was it was very long, and a lot of it felt repetitive. It got boring at times. And it was, as I said, it was two nights of 3 hours each, so 6 hours in total. And I definitely think they could have cut down the running time. But all in all, a great documentary. Number four on my list of best summer television programs, I decided to combine three documentaries together under the HBO Summer Documentary Series. They were Bobby Fischer Against the World, Hot Coffee, and Superheroes. And in case you didn't know this, HBO does an amazing documentary series each summer, and all the documentaries are varied, and sometimes they come from very prestigious film festivals, and for the most part, they're almost always great. Three I would like to talk about, first of all, is Bobby Fischer Against the World, which dealt with Bobby Fischer and how he became the chess champion of the world, and why he all of a sudden kind of he did have a mental breakdown, and what caused his life to fall apart. And it was a very intriguing documentary on a figure that not much is known about in terms of my generation. I mean, he was always kind of just this weird guy that would say really controversial things in the media until he died. I mean, you really didn't know him as this amazing chess player like the previous generation did. So it was definitely an intriguing documentary to learn all this interesting stuff about the man. And my favorite part about the documentary was that it went into the problems geniuses have in general, the mental problems, and I really liked how it touched upon that. The second documentary I want to talk about is Hot Coffee, which was a very hard, in a good way, hard documentary to watch. It was very political. It was about the right to sue people and how maybe it's a good thing that we're allowed to be able to sue people and sue doctors and all these things because bad stuff does happen. And it was presented in a very efficient way. My only problem was that it probably was a little too biased. I mean, there's always that running joke suing in this country has become so – lawsuits have been, in this country have become so ridiculous that some lady won millions and millions of dollars by spilling McDonald's coffee on her lap. And that's where the documentary got its title. But they showed that case, and it was really different from what the media portrayed, surprisingly. And I just thought that was very interesting. The third documentary I would like to point out is Superheroes, which was a look into the lives of real-life superheroes. Once again, the best part about this documentary, like Bobby Fischer Against the World, was that it went into the problems with the mindset of these people. There's like definitely something psychologically wrong, and they went into why that might be happening. But also, there were some very intense moments. The real-life superheroes did have showdowns with drug dealers and stuff, and they caught it all on tape. It was very surprising. And then it was also very heartbreaking because these people really are crazy and they really do need help. And as a superhero fan, it was just a completely different take on the superhero genre, and I very much liked it. So on to number three of my favorite television programs of the summer, and that is Curiosity. It's a series, it's supposed to be a landmark series that Discovery is airing that's supposed to be like 60 episodes over 5 years. And you can tell they're putting a lot of work into it. It's very informative. It's very flashy, great visual effects. They got amazing voiceovers. They've got Benedict Cumberbatch from Sherlock, and he's going to do the voice of some of the characters in the new Hobbit movie. He was amazing. Maggie Gyllenhaal, Morgan Freeman did voiceover work for some of the episodes. And all these episodes are taking on like high concept ideas like, does God exist? What are black holes? Do parallel universes exist? And it presents them in a way that's easy to understand. Like, it's amazing that I can fully understand these complex ideas, and just my mind gets blown about, like, oh my God, this could really be possible, and this is just such a great point. My mind is literally blown, like, every 5 minutes. And another great thing is it's so diverse. Each episode is so different from the next. There was one about, as I said, whether God was real. The next one was like, what would happen in a real alien invasion? And then there was one about parallel universes. And it's just so diverse. And yet they are able to pull all these different episodes off. Very exciting series. I would recommend you watch it. It airs Sundays at 8 on Discovery Channel. My second favorite television program of the summer was Damages, the legal drama, the serial-style legal drama starring Glenn Close and Rose Byrne. It's definitely their best season since the first season. The CIA and military involvement storyline is their best yet. That's what the main case is focused on. It's very intriguing. And for once, this is a show that really is where the female, the actresses, have totally owned this show. Rose Byrne and Glenn Close are amazing. But in this season, they've actually taken a back seat. And it's still worked off. The show still works amazingly. It's actually their second best season so far. And what Chris Messina, Dylan Baker, and John Goodman are doing in their roles, they might be the three best supporting actors on television if it wasn't for my number one show, which I'll get to in a second. My only complaint is Glenn Close and Rose Byrne aren't getting much to do, but still an amazing season on a great show when it's really on. So that leaves my number one television program of the summer. That is Breaking Bad. It's intense, beautifully shot. The episode where Walt tries to convince Mike to take out Gus, I think it was the second episode of the season, that was just such beautifully shot. The amazing homages to the Leone movies and the fast track shots. It's what Michael Slovis does on the show. He's the cinematographer on the show, is just truly amazing. And the recent episodes, it gives you the feel that it's just getting started, like some insane stuff is going to go on real soon. And it's been amazingly written and amazingly performed, as always, of course, this season, but I think especially so this season. I mean, the best example of this is Bryan Cranston's "I am the one who knocks" line. That's just such a, I think it's such a great line, and I think it's going to be a classic line from television. And that wraps it up for my review of the summer television series. So on to the summer movies. As you may know, this was hyped up as the summer of the sequel or the summer of the superhero film. And the sequels and the superhero films actually turned out to be the lesser offerings of the summer. Luckily, all the other stuff turned out to be really good. This was a overall good summer. Nothing very bad came out. Only a few great things came out, but nothing very bad came out is the important thing. It's by far not the best summer ever, but it's better than last year's summer. It did start off poor. There was Thor, which was very disappointing, but luckily it improved from there. I think I'll just touch on the superhero films for a second, as that none of them. I'll also be doing a top five films of the summer. No superhero film made my top five list, just because they were all good, not great. Thor was a disappointment. That's the only one I didn't like. I did not see Green Lantern though. Then there was Captain America: The First Avenger, which was probably the best of the superhero films, but there was still definitely some pacing problems with that for me to truly enjoy it, and Hugo Weaving was just hamming it up way too much. Then there was X-Men First Class, which just felt messy. I mean, it was very intriguing. I did enjoy the film, but it just had this very messy feeling to it that I didn't quite enjoy, but the acting was phenomenal in that film. And then, what were there any other? I must be missing one superhero film. Hold on one second. Having a mind blank. Anyways, I'll just get to my top five, and if I think of the other superhero films, I'll talk about that. Oh, that was it. Yeah. All right, so no more. I don't think there were any more superhero films besides that. Anyways, my number five favorite film of the summer was Kung Fu Panda 2. This is the only. No, I have one more franchise film on this list. But nonetheless, it was a great sequel. It took concepts from the first film, such as the father of Jack Black's character. It's been a while since I've seen this. But the father of Jack Black's character, it was a running joke in the first one that it's not possible that he could be the father because he was a duck and Po was a panda. And it took that, what was a joke in the first one, and turned it into a plot that actually worked for over the course of an entire movie. I just loved how they did that. Once again, this series continues to have amazing villains. Gary Oldman played a villainous peacock, and he was just as good as Ian McShane, who is probably one of the best villainous actors out there. So amazing voice work by Gary Oldman. The action scenes in this film were better than the majority of live action ones during the summer. They were just so exciting and intense, and crazily shot. And finally, the film set up the third film in the series perfectly. I'm very intrigued with for the third film of the series. My number four favorite film of the summer was The Help. I just went over this. I just reviewed this a couple days ago on lorethefilms.net, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but it was one of the best ensembles in a long time. and it came as a huge surprise to me, and I enjoyed it. So number three on my list is Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is a great prequel that actually connects to the original for the most part, and it doesn't retcon previous facts like X-Men First Class did, which is another reason it didn't make my list. Andy Serkis, phenomenal in this. Rupert Wyatt, phenomenal direction. He's definitely a director. I had no idea who he was before this film, but I will definitely watch whatever he does from now on. And finally, the fight on the bridge scene at the end. Best action scene. Best fight scene, actually. Or battle scene, or whatever you want to call it. It was the best of this year, let alone the summer. Number two on my list of best film of the summer is Super 8, J.J. Abrams' film that was also produced by Steven Spielberg. And J.J. Abrams just did a phenomenal job directing this. Not so much writing, but he definitely brought the Spielberg-like atmosphere to the film that totally worked. And the film, fortunately, got a very strong young cast. Joel Courtney was great as the lead, but Elle Fanning was just spectacular as the love interest for the lead character. And she just nailed it in that acting scene at the train station. Definitely one of the best acted scenes of the year. So finally, on to my number one film of the summer. And that is a film I have not had the chance to review yet on loreofthefilms.net. It's a film that I think, if I were to be truly respectful to the film, I would have to review, I would have to watch it completely a second time before I do a full review and critique and analysis, because this film definitely deserves to be not only seen but analyzed. That film is The Tree of Life. It's a true masterpiece, no doubt going to be the best of the year in my opinion. It's the most ambitious film since 2001, A Space Odyssey, and I think it pretty much pulled it off. The creation of the cosmos scene will be considered one of the best scenes of all time, I can already tell. Brad Pitt has one of his best roles ever. It's not a very showy performance, but he just plays it so realistically that it's amazing. And then Jessica Chastain, what more can be said about her? She's just having such a breakout year, and she's just an amazing actress. And that's all I will say for Tree of Life for now, and that will wrap it up for my summer review. Next episode, I will probably be reviewing Contagion and discussing some of the festival buzz for the Oscar films and a review of the Creative Art Emmys, which are being held this weekend. So that should come out sometime Sunday or Monday, and hopefully by then I'll be back on track with Lore of the Films. Until then, I'm Ryan Fernand, and I am out.